This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Front Row. I'm Lee Chui Lin. If there is a one, then a two should follow. And if there were flow and symmetry, then there might be at some juncture the known and unknown. The Sembilan Art Residency Program is launching its second exhibition with two new emerging artists, Arjum Juxta and Erin. They follow Nicholas Chung and JL Estrella, who were the resident artists in the first exhibition earlier in January this year. And Erin and Arjum, as well as James Yip, co-founder of the Sembilan Art Residency Program, are here in the studio with me to tell us what it's all about, as well as explain what the known and the unknown means. So, James, why have you and your partner decided on these two artists?
Wow. Thanks for welcoming Sembilan back on the show. It's quite strange, actually. I think it is sort of fate. With Erin, she came highly recommended by Nicholas and Jael. They were at a art talk or art Whaling Art Gallery talk, and they met and they recommended us, and we saw some of her works and we were blown away, so we were really happy to have her on board. Arjum was extremely sneaky. He actually asked for a copy of our contract on the pretense that he was going to show it to some of his juniors, and then a couple of days later he rang us up and said, "James, I would love to join Sembilan." And I literally fell off the chair. We were so happy to have him on board because, you know, we love his work and we love him as a personality. So it was a very easy decision.
And in the future, you know, is this something that you're going to... Do you think it's always going to be this sort of serendipity and, you know, or is it going to be more of an open call for applicants? Do you see yourself moving in that direction?
Sembilan is relatively small and fluid. So whilst we do an open call for application, a lot of the decision is fair. We haven't got like a strict, you know, selection criteria. We like to meet the artists and ensure that we're all on the same wavelength. We have to share the same ambition of what we want to do in the art ecosystem. So yeah, I think it a bit of both, I would say.
And perhaps for people who are unfamiliar with the concept of what an art residency is, could you explain what Sembilan does?
Sure. So Sembilan is actually it's an amalgamation of three parties. We've got Chalk and Ready that sort of looks after everything that's art related. We've got Alice Projects that looks after the day-to-day operational activities. And we've got Hotel San Lun Yik that provides that very important ingredient of space when it comes to art. The three of us have this sort of joint vision of wanting to raise awareness of the art culture. So we founded Sembilan. Sembilan really has a two-pronged objective, and the first objective is for the artists. And what actually happens in the art residency is relatively simple. You come in, you get to stay in Hotel San Lun Yik for 3 months for absolutely free. Together with that, you get a studio that's about 2,000 square feet, and, you know, just go nuts and create, debate, whatever you want to do within that space. And then finally, we throw an exhibition for the artists. The other sort of side note that we do for the artists is that we try to organize two artist development events every season. So that varies quite greatly. That's on one hand. On the other hand, it's really with the collectors in mind. So with Sembilan, we want to try and attract new collectors. We define them as individuals who have collected between 0 and 5 pieces of work. We do this by really trying to keep the price low. So Sembilan doesn't take a commission on the artworks that are sold. 100% of it goes to the artist. But most importantly, we try and, as opposed to presenting the artwork in a gallery, we try to attract collectors to new venues, so cafes. So the last time we had Alliance Francaise, and this time we've got Aku Cafe. And they were, I mean, they're incredibly lovely people, very generous. And we can't wait to put on a show at Aku Cafe.
When it comes to being on the same wavelength, being a part of an art ecosystem that you all want to participate in, so three of you obviously kind of fell in step on that. Could you explain what that entailed? You know, how did you all realize that, okay, this is something that I'd like to be a part of, this is a movement that I'm interested in?
Okay. Okay, to answer that is basically is, you know, it's an opportunity when you saw one, you know, like, and then like knowing them personally, because I met James and his wife Zinyi a few months back at my gallery at Publica. So it all started there. So, you know, you can work with them in a way, because art is not just about like producing artworks, it's also about, you know, to communicate, you know, and then to create and also like to deliver. So I think it is a important, a vital element in creating artworks. So to develop myself as an artist, you need to actually have interaction with other people too. So I see this as a big opportunity at the same time to create a bridge, you know, between collectors, art enthusiasts, and artists. Yeah, that's for me.
Okay. Well, for myself, I think meeting with Nicholas and Laurie at the Weiling One Day Transformation Workshop was an immense stroke of luck, actually. I just recently got back to Malaysia, and I did not know what to do with my art career. Just started out as an artist as well. And when they told me about this residency, so of course I had to check it out. And I met, well, we had a rather interesting call from James and Xin Yi, and I was like, why not? Let's try it out. And I've never regretted it.
Ajim, you were already part of an art gallery. You mentioned that. Why then be part of another art initiative?
Yeah, because even the art gallery is also like a collaboration with two other artists. So I believe like there's no such thing as an artist or a person doing everything all by his own. So why not collaborate more with others so you can have like a better view, you know, about what you're doing. So, you know, you get input and you also like, you know, react to that. And then like for the gallery itself, it's more like between the artists, you know, me and like two other senior artists. I'm also like learning from them in a way. So this is like a different platform. So I don't want to be stuck in only one platform. So that's why. Yep.
And Aaron, out of curiosity, are you also an owner of a retail outlet of wearable art? Is that something that you're doing?
No, actually.
Because we found this place called Aaron Shop. In Sabah, and they sell, you know, clothes and skirts and blouses and shawls and bags and, you know, is that? And so yeah, we were just wondering. But also, you know, would you ever opt to do that kind of wearable art? Do you see that as something you'd be interested in at all?
I am looking into it. I've been looking into it for quite a while. So when I get back to Penang this time, I'm going to start printing my own T-shirts. There, I found someone who can print T-shirts for me. So it's definitely something I'm going to do in the future.
You might want to call up Aaron Shop in Sabah.
Yeah, I'll definitely check them out.
Okay, so looking then at what you guys have done in the residency, you're associated, Aaron, you're associated with the Known Unknown and Ajim Unknown Known. So does that mean you guys are at polar ends? Or, you know, what does it mean?
How to tackle this? So.
Let's start with Known Unknown then.
Known Unknown. I believe when James attributed the Known Unknown to my artwork, he meant that what I do is I take known elements, like things that are familiar to us, and I twist and warp them so that they become completely foreign and alien to let us see it in a different way. Like, for example, we could be having coffee. It's just a really normal thing that we do every day, and people's head will just turn into animals, and the coffee can turn into anything, and the cafe will be a tree grown from a single tree or something. So I try to bring that element of the bizarre into the very normal everyday world. So I guess that's what I mean by known and unknown. Yeah.
And if we go to the unknown known?
Because like mainly my paintings are basically abstract, semi-abstract. So sometimes it's kind of hard for people to actually digest what they see. So, but I do have my references, like basically for this residency. So most of my work like revolves around the idea of nature and the architecture. And then this is what I absorb when I stay in Seremban for almost 3 months, you know, and then like transfer it into something. So it is unknown to people, but you can know about it, like if you approach the artist and you go through the statements and stuff, so they can relate to something, and then it became known to them. Yeah.
I'm speaking today with Aaron and Ajim Juxta, artists in the Sembilan Residency Program, as well as James Yip, who's co-founder of the program. And we are discussing the work that they've been doing. Up next, we find out more about their approach to art and how Seremban and being there influenced the works that they created. You are listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, James Yip, co-founder of the Sembilan Art Residency Program, as well as two artists who participated in the program recently, Erin and Ajim Juxta. So we've talked about known unknown as well as the unknown known. Now let's talk about your approach to art. Ajim, how would you describe that, and how do you characterize yourself as an artist?
Characterize, I think, like, just being me in a way, actually, because I'm also like into music and writings, so somehow like paintings and drawings are also part of, you know, the channel where I channel my, you know, creative juice. You know, you want to keep it flow, and sometimes it can intertwine together. So yeah, as a multifaceted artist, I think it's just natural to keep on producing. So, and then in terms of work, I basically, for this residency, I produce a lot of abstract paintings, basically derived from human nature, you know, the characteristics and nature and architecture, because I used to study architecture, and then ever since, even though I quit doing architecture like 6 years ago, but somehow the knowledge is still there, and basically I use whatever that I know and absorb the whatever inspirations and reference, and then, you know, like, it's like eating, and like you take a dump and then you throw it all away, but it can become something else, you know, to inspire people. I think, you know, when you do art, it only works when you actually, you know, you get the feedbacks from people. So I think, yeah, I'm that kind of artist. I wanted to see people questioning, not just from me like giving an absolute answer. So I think it's also a learning process, a lifetime lah. Yep.
And some of your works indicate that the medium is ink and blood on paper. Do you want to tell us how that works?
Don't give away too much, Ajim.
Okay, it's metaphorically, you know, like blood is where we have our DNAs, and then also blood is one thing that actually flows through your heart, you know, no matter where does the blood came from, right? So basically it's part of me, metaphorically, but when you do art, you actually pour a little bit of yourself. So yeah, basically I want to reflect that in a way. And somehow I have, like, you know, blood's coming through, so why waste it? So
actually, one of the things that we've noticed, you know, between Lee Sin and myself, is that, you know, this season artists, as well as the past season artists, actually we were surprised as to how much they have to go through, emotionally, sometimes even physically, the challenges of just being in a residency. And it's really interesting to see Ajim literally put blood, sweat, and tears into his work.
Erin, how would you describe your approach to art? What kind of artist are you?
Well, I could say I'm prone to introversion a lot. So yeah, that's a start. And a lot of my work is based on delving really deeply inwardly inside myself to find something that is universal, that pretty much all of us experience. So a lot of my work turned out to be very emotional in a sense. And part of it is me working through my own emotions. The other part is to try to bring that deeper part of myself out to connect with this world. Because, yeah, I daydream a lot. And I'm usually in my own little world in my head. And art is my conduit to kind of opens the door between this world and the world that's inside. So I don't know how else to describe it at this moment.
When you make the known unknown, do you find that that's sort of surrealism? Because I you know, from the work that I saw, there were certainly elements of surrealism kind of peeking through, right? Things that shouldn't be there being there, things that are never going to be there, you know, popping up. And do you find that as a whole, people are ready for that? Do you find that people kind of are able to have a level of accessibility to your work?
That's a very good question, and frankly, I don't know. But I draw a lot of inspiration from video games, and that's why you see things that are there but they aren't there. And perhaps that's my audience as well, towards people who are more ready to see things in a different way, who do not want to see the same thing repeated over and over, because we are bombarded with images from commercials and advertising that are sort of similar in a sense when you look at them as a whole. So I always try to bring something that we've never seen before or never will see again. So that's pretty much my approach. Yeah.
Here, this is a very interesting question, Lynn, because the works that you see in the catalogue and you will see in the show are the ones that, you know, made the cut. There are some works created by Erin. You know, you asked whether would the public be ready for it. There were some works that were so intense that, you know, even Ajim was not ready for it. And those had to be the darker side of Erin.
I'm keeping those for the time being until I have enough of them, then I can really put on a show.
But then, like, I think it makes sense, like, you know, like, it makes sense because, like, even in this modern era, like, you know, you have phones and stuff. It looks like you're always talking to yourself. So, like, let's say we put it 100 years ago, it doesn't make sense. And then why not, like, yeah, in material world, if we can progress, why not in creative, you know, creative platform? Mm. So it is something new, and I think it's beautiful in a way. Yeah. Okay.
Seremban, the site in question, is what, an hour out from Kuala Lumpur approximately?
Depends on how fast you drive.
That's true. Yes, I've just revealed that I might not always follow the speed limit. But how did the site itself contribute to your imagination, feed into your works? How did being away from KL for those 3 months kind of affect you?
Ooh.
You stayed there more often.
Yeah, I was there a bit for a longer period of time. Well, it was actually like being thrown into the deep end of the pool. I would say I lead a sheltered life. Having lived my life in Brunei and just moving back to Penang a year ago, coming to Seremban was a big change for me. And being alone in that space did a lot of things to my mind. I had to face a lot of myself, and I actually did not explore to the extent that Ajim did, but my exploration tends to be inwards anyway, so I spend my time in the studio. Some elements of Seremban did make its way in, but I would say that it's continuing to impact my artwork after the residency, actually. So during the residency, there isn't that much of Seremban in it, but after I've been seeing bits of crumbling buildings, and it works with Penang's Georgetown as well, where we have the older buildings, and so those are kind of bleeding into each other at this point. So that's my experience there.
As for me, because I'm constantly travel, I mean, like, I'll spend like few days every week in Seremban, so the travels between Kuala Lumpur and Seremban is actually the one, and also the town itself, of course, all the walks between the Hotel Sun Luik to the Studio 9. It's like about 200-300 meters. So, you know, like every day you can see different things, even though like you actually walk or you ride the train, the same path. But then, yeah, it kind of like all these elements of buildings, nature, and the condition of the confluence of it. And, you know, it kind of evoke certain emotions and certain ideas. And then that's where I transfer into my works. So basically, yeah, and make it abstract. That's one thing about it. But I would love to actually explain in detail when the exhibitions, when I'm around, so people can actually, you know,
see
dig
what
more.
You're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You both collaborated on two works, Beauty in the Grotesque and Magic in the Mundane. What did you each contribute to the pieces?
Okay. Well, we actually sat down and then we're like talking. We're just doodling random things.
Yeah.
And then suddenly we talked about mushrooms. Yeah. Mushroom person.
Mushroom
and
man.
Then and then after that, something to do with a hermit crab. And so I started it off by doing the drawing part. So it took a while. And I got the idea of the mushroom growing from a guy's head, which was split open. And that is Magic in the Mundane. And then Beauty in the Grotesque, I tried to merge a person's face head with a hermit crab, and from the result Ajim painted over it and made it as grungy and amazing as he could.
Because the amazing thing about this, because we came with the idea of like because it has certain character about how it reflects human metaphorically. You know, mushroom is like a you know, you actually a parasite. Mm-hmm. Hermit crabs is actually they took over like seashells as part of the house. In a way, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it kind of reflect, you know, us in a way. You know,
yeah.
inhabit a space, mm-hmm. where and then we just keep on, yeah.
Yeah,
I think, yep.
We appropriate and we make use, but there isn't, when you talk about originality, sometimes things have been done before, but we can only do it in our own way. So this does reflect a bit on why we choose to make it mushroom and parasites. Yeah.
And how did you both negotiate your time so that one artist's ideas and style did not dominate the piece?
Ooh. That actually,
that didn't happen actually.
That came naturally. Yeah, naturally.
Oh, wonderful. So you didn't have to sit down and stake your claim.
I can see the stages are like, you know, the ideation. We did it together. And then she will start with the drawings and then she cut the drawings, the paper, and paste it onto the panel. And I painted the background. I put colors on top of the main objects, subjects. And then I just go on detailing the works while she actually produced the writing.
Yeah.
About the words, and it makes sense, you know.
I think our styles and our concept mesh well together, which is why when I first got to know Sembilan and, you know, that Ajim is gonna be my partner in crime here, I was pretty excited because I felt that we can definitely work well together.
How much FaceTime did you actually have during the residency, and what did you talk about? Do you guys remember sort of having a big memorable conversation?
Sometimes. Once or twice.
Sometimes about our work and experience. We do exchange experience in a way.
But the thing is, hours are kind of different. I work better in the mornings and in the afternoon. So at the end of my day, I'll see Ajim coming. He'll work through the night sometimes. So yeah.
You both talked about the writing that accompanies the pieces. Were you ever worried that while the writing is helpful in helping people understand the ideas and the concepts behind it, it might also potentially be limiting to people kind of having their own read on it?
I think, yeah, most definitely. I think we were in sort of two minds about it. Do we include, do we accompany the works with background sketches, materials, writing? In the end, we sort of went back to the roots, and we realized that a lot of our collectors are first-time collectors. So, in fact, we just got a couple of texts this morning saying, like, you know, I've got some friends coming, they're new to art, you know, they're bringing their dad and their mom, and they don't think art is their thing. But we want to try and encourage them, and it's really just to kickstart that thought process, emotionally engaging them. They may then go on to see something else, you're perfectly right. But, you know, that one is sort of onto them and sort of
you're just giving them the gateway,
like a kickstarter,
a key of interpretation, well, sort of like to help them connect in a sense, because I feel our work is pretty far out there. And for people who are not used to interpreting visual messages, a verbal or written one, that's what I keep in mind when I do my writing, is to give them a sense of what's going on behind the artwork as well, my own thought process.
James, who have you lined up for your third residency?
Ah, very glad you asked. We have signed up two very talented artists. We've got a local Malaysian boy, Alif Ahmad. Very, very excited to start seeing him get into the studio and get busy. In fact, we're bringing them tomorrow. And we've got a Russian girl, Elena Kravchenko. I can't recall their Facebook sites right now, but definitely we're going to feature them on Facebook and our Facebook page. And super excited. So they start on the 1st of June, and their show is scheduled to be end September.
Which is likely when we'll be having you as well as both of them in here.
Hopefully.
Yep. So this exhibition, the fruit of the almost 3-month long second Sembilan Art Residency Program, will feature 37 works by the artists, Erin and Ajim Juxta, individually and including two on which they collaborated. The exhibition Known and Unknown will be held at Aku Cafe and Gallery on Jalan Panggung, Kuala Lumpur. It opens Sunday, May 31st, this Sunday, and will run through till Sunday, June 7th. It's just one short week. Admission Admission is free, but it is best with a cup of coffee. Thank you all for joining me today. I've been speaking with Erin and Ajim Juxta, artists in the Sembilan Residency Program, as well as James Yip, co-founder of the program. We've been discussing Known and Unknown and their approaches to art here on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.